All right. Doesn't seem like it was that long to me when he had his last one. They're rolling around. But every time he has one, I have one in there somewhere. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer tonight. Father, we thank you and bless you for all your blessings in our life. And Lord, we're just grateful we can be here tonight. Thank you for this good crowd, Father, that's devoted to come out in the middle of the week, Lord, to get them a dose of the Word of God. Because you said that Word is life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. And we're going to go forth from this place tonight refreshed because we've heard from you. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've been teaching some lessons about how to get your prayers answered. And Wednesday night, Barbara could tell you, we teach how to do it. This is how you do it most of the time. And last couple of weeks, we were talking about prayers that change things. Found out that some of the things you need to do if you want to pray a prayer that changes things. Number one, pray in the will of God. Number two, pray in faith. Number three, pray in the name of Jesus. And then finally, we got to the place of pray with boldness. And so I talked about a scripture a little bit as we ended up last week. I want to go to it. We didn't look at it last week. I just mentioned it. But if you'll turn to Luke chapter 11, Luke's gospel in chapter 11. And Luke chapter 11, I'm going to read actually the first two scriptures out of the book of Luke, I believe. Chapter 11, I'll start at the first verse. And there's few verses here I'm going to read. But it says in chapter 11, verse 1 of Luke's gospel, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place," talking about Jesus, "when he ceased," well, there's one revelation right there. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that we should pray without ceasing. And it said Jesus ceased. Maybe we don't understand what it means to pray without ceasing. But I'll tell you the key to it. You can look at word cease. The word where it says pray without ceasing in W.E. Vine's dictionary, it means to, Vine says about that word pray without ceasing, it says it's not talking about something that is not interrupted, but rather something that is constantly recurring. So to pray without ceasing doesn't mean I can't ever take a break from praying, but it's kind of like Smith Wigglesworth said one time. He said, "I hardly ever pray more than 15 minutes at a time." But he said, "But I hardly ever go more than 15 minutes without praying." And so, you know, some folks, they pray their hour a day and that's it. But I'll tell you, and it's good to get your hour in, but prayer ought to be an ongoing thing, and that's what it's talking about without ceasing. Jesus quit what he was praying right here because folks wanted to talk to him. And it said, "One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, evidently, they had observed in Jesus that he knew something about praying they didn't know. And what they probably observed was he was getting better answers than they were. And so that's why we've been teaching on prayer, and much of it's review for a lot of you, but we need to constantly refresh ourselves about how to do things right so that we get the right results, right? They said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread." The margin says in my Bible, for day by day, it says, or for the day. Give us our daily bread for the day. "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Of course, we refer to that as the Lord's Prayer. It's really the prayer that the Lord taught the disciples. But one thing we know that when Jesus said this to him, one thing, he didn't speak King James English when he said it. The reason we do that is because that's the way it's written in our King James Bible. But another thing is, he didn't really give them this as a prayer to recite. Now, it's all right to recite it. I enjoy reciting it. It's a good prayer. But one reason I don't believe he gave it to them as a prayer to recite, because there is no evidence that Jesus himself ever prayed this prayer again, just like it's worded here. What he really gave them was a pattern for prayer. And so as we go down through this, he said, "Our Father," the first thing we find out in the pattern is that prayer is addressed to the Father. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask the Father, in my name, he will give it you. Now, is it all right to pray to Jesus? Yeah, but not prayers of petition and things like that. But in fellowshipping with him, it's good to talk to Jesus. It's good to talk to the Holy Ghost. I tell the Holy Ghost every once in a while when I think he preached good, that he did a good job. I just appreciate him letting me be in partnership with him and stand up here. But then the next thing we see, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We see in the pattern that prayer begins with worship. You get in the presence of God and begin to worship him. He inhabits the praises of his people. You begin to worship God in prayer. See, a lot of folks, they got gimme, gimme, gimme on their mind so much they can't even wait to get through the rest of it to get to that part. Start out, address it to the Father, begin with worship. Then it says, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth, in heaven and so on earth. Next thing you need to get to in prayer is you need to submit yourself to the will of God. Instead of going to God and demanding what you want, you need to, well, you know, we talked about the will of God for several weeks, and so get in the Word of God and find out what the will of God is. But even when you don't have a clear leading about the will of God concerning what you're praying about, particularly for some particular issue in your life you have to make a decision about or something, some course of action, and you don't know exactly which way God wants you to go, but submit it to the will of God in prayer. Don't just demand your own thing. Israel got in trouble every time they did that. God, we're tired of this manna. We want meat. He said, all right, here, have some. Next thing you know, they're sick. Throwing up. The Bible says it was coming out their nose. That's pretty sick. All right? They said, God, we want a king. He said, no, you don't want a king. Yeah, we want a king. Everybody else has got a king. We want a king. He said, I'm your king. Yeah, but we want a king like everybody else does. He said, all right, I'll give you one, but it'll be the worst thing that ever happened to you. We need to submit our prayers to the will of God. Find out what the will of God is if you can determine it. But even in prayers of consecration and getting direction for your life, tell God, Lord, what I'm really interested in is your will being done in this thing. All right? And then he says, give us this day our daily bread and so forth. So we do need to pray. That's supplication for supply. We need to pray and request the necessities of life. And then he says, forgive us, because we forgive other people, and so in our praying, we need to ask for forgiveness on the condition that we are forgivers. You know, if everybody had to go to the Father based on that, Lord, forgive me the way I forgive other people. I tell you, sometimes we're hurting folks. But Jesus has given us a pattern about how prayer will work. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray, and then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you need to understand that in your prayer, you can pray for deliverance from evil. Right? We're not supposed to have to go through with what all the world goes through. I heard a man on the radio yesterday. I don't listen to this program intentionally, but sometimes I'm riding around, my radio's on, and I hear it. And there's some people that all in the world they're worried about is what's going to happen when the calendar rolls over another notch. And I think God will give us wisdom if we need to make some kind of preparation. But this fella, and it's on a radio program, you could hear it every day if you listen to it. But when I get through telling you what the man said, I'm going to recommend you not listen to it. And they emphasize prophecy on this program, and I believe in prophecy. But this guy had some prophecies he had written down, and he has visitations in the night from the angel Gabriel. Gabriel comes to see him and wakes him up and tells him to write down this prophecy. Now, I believe in angels, but I also know there's some whole cults that have got started by people listening to angels. I tell you what, you better go to the Word of God and see what it says. Right? Jesus said when them boys was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and heard the audible voice of God, the Word of God tells us, I think it was Peter wrote it, yeah it was, and he said, but we have a more sure word of prophecy than even if we hear voices coming out of heaven. And that's the written Word of God. Anyway, this fellow talking about, you know, the first thing you need to buy his book, buy his supplies to get you through. And then he said, Gabriel told him about the rapture and said there's no such thing as the rapture. That's one of the biggest fallacies that's ever been passed off on the church. Well, listen, my Bible said we're supposed to pray and said, Lord, deliver me from evil. All right, y'all want to pray that prayer? Now, the Bible says, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Anybody wants to believe to go through the tribulation, go through all the problems of life, that's all right with me if that's what they want to do. But I choose to use my faith to believe I'm not going through it. All right, so Jesus gave us a pattern for prayer, and then he continues. He's still talking in verse 5 about how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, all right, I'll teach you some things. Listen, He gave him that pattern. He said in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend, shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. Now, do any of you have a friend like that? If you went to them at midnight and really had a need and said, listen, I got a problem and I need you to help me out, they'd say, get away from here and leave me alone, I'm already in the bed, I ain't got time to fool with you. If you do, you need to get you some new friends. That's what Jesus is telling them. Even if you go ask your friend, he'll get up and do it for you. And he said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he'll rise. In other words, even if you went to somebody that wasn't your friend, if they're a decent human being, just because you're bold enough to come ask them, they'll get up and give you three loaves of bread if they got some. Because you had company show up and had, you know, didn't have nothing to feed, take care of. Stores are closed at midnight. They were back then. They open now. And Jesus said in verse 9, and I say to you, ask, and it'll be given you. Seek, and you shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened to you. Those words in the Greek are a present participle, which means it indicates ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking. Verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he for offer him a scorpion? Or if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? All right. Jesus is teaching them how to pray. All right. Then, I mentioned a while ago that 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we should pray without ceasing. And that word without ceasing means constantly recurring. In other words, we ought to always be praying recurring prayers. He said, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, if you read it in the original language. Now, that was review and then leading up to Jesus teaching them how to pray. And what today's message, my title I put on today's message is, pray until something happens. Pray until something happens, and there's an acronym for that if you take the first letters of each word, and that acronym is PUSH. Pray until something happens. And the pastor's been telling us for years, you have to push your way through. In the kingdom of God, you have to push your way. And so that's what in prayer, talking about praying until something happens. Now, you know, some people say, well, you shouldn't ever pray a prayer one time and then forget about it and don't pray it no more, you're not in faith. Well, if you're going to go and keep asking God like you think he never heard you, then you're not in faith. But God told us to put him in remembrance of his word, and I'm going to show you some good Bible examples. I'm going to show you an example of Jesus repeating his prayer. So I know it's all right to do it. Because why? Because we're supposed to pray till something happens. Now, something doesn't always need to happen in the kingdom of God for me to get my prayer answered. Sometimes something needs to happen in gym for me to get my prayer answered. Sometimes I need to pray till I tell you, prayer changes things, but prayer will change you too when you keep praying. And so if you haven't seen the results, I encourage you to keep praying, but you have to kind of adjust how you're praying and make sure you're praying in faith and praying with thanksgiving, thanking the Lord for what he's already done. Now, still in Luke and in chapter 18. Luke in chapter 18. And I start at the first verse when we get to Luke 18. And this particular thing right here kind of goes along with the one I just read. People kind of put those side by side in their thinking usually. And he spake a parable unto them. Now, a parable means this didn't really happen. He's just using this as an illustration. To this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said we ought always to pray and not to faint. Now that word faint means to lack courage, to lose heart, to give up, or to be weary. In other words, you ought to pray without getting weary and losing heart and lacking courage about it. And I think kind of the opposite of this, would the word patience would fit in there. Because patience is when you just, patience is not putting up with everything that comes along down the road. Patience is being able to continue to believe the promises of God right through the problems. When you're not seeing instant results, but you're still believing the problem. You know, sometimes you're praying for healing in your body. Well, I tell you, praise God that there is such a thing as instant healing, but there is also such a thing, and he shall recover. And I tell you what, when you get to praying, if you hadn't seen instant results, then you get your faith out there that you're recovering. And then you'll find, and so you can thank God every day that you're recovering. And you know, if I had a, was anointed with oil, and for a sickness, and tomorrow, I don't, even if it was a little better, if it was a little worse, I'd still be praising God and saying, Father, I thank you that last night at church, I got anointed with oil in accordance with James 5:14. And I thank you, Father, that the word of God is working in my body and working in my life. And I thank you, Lord, that I am recovering and healing is mine in Jesus' name. So you're still praying, but it's a prayer of faith. You're not praying like maybe God didn't hear you. And so men ought always to pray and not to faint. And verse 2 says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, you know, in that culture back there, there was really a big difference, a vast difference, and pretty much there is today, although you could have a rich widow, but this is one that needed to be avenged of her adversary, and she's probably in debt, about like the one over there that was going to have to sell her sons to get out of debt, and she's looking for some relief from the courts. And there is a big social difference between that judge and that widow that's going to him needing help. Well, I tell you, when I go to God, there's a big difference between me and him and our standing. But you know what? He's got time to listen to me. And it says in verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet, now this judge in this parable is not God, because this guy didn't even fear God. This is not a nice man. But he said, even him being not a nice man, he said, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, though he bear long with them. I tell you, God will bear long with you sometime. You know why? Because he's long-bearing. He's long-suffering. God is not bothered with impatience. God is not a clock watcher like we are. You know, you think about Jesus going to the tomb of Lazarus. Here's old Lazarus. He got the word Lazarus is sick, looked like he's going to die. Jesus piddled around 3 or 4 days before he ever got down there. He wasn't in any rush. You know why? He had already heard from the Father that everything's going to be all right. I tell you, when you've already heard from the Father that everything's going to be all right, you're not so anxious about everything. You're not in such a hurry to see results. You know God's working. And find my place again. And it says in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. It said, God, though he bear long with you, he'll avenge you speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, what's that got to do? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Talking about this situation right here. Well, I'll tell you something. One of a father's jobs, and God is your father, and some of you have been a father to children, and one of a father's job as a parent is to teach their children faith and patience. And instant gratification does not teach faith and patience. Now, so you want to know, why doesn't God immediately give me everything I ask him for? The same reason, if you're smart, you will not give your children instantly everything they ask for. And I tell you, I'm afraid it's not the whole generation, but we've been in the process here for a while of trying to turn out some generations that have been so trained in instant gratification that it's going to be hard to teach them to live by faith when they have to. I tell you, some of them are having a rude awakening when they get about 18, 19, 20 years old and go out and live in this real world and ain't got El Shaddad to take care of everything for them anymore. You know? So Listen, be generous with your kids. You expect God to be generous with you. But at the same time, you have to balance it out so that they learn some patience. You know, you don't need, it's good. Wanting stuff is good for you. I mean, when I was a kid, I knew about wanting stuff. I used to go, Mama worked uptown right across the street from Woolworths in Kannapolis. And after school, a lot of times I'd go up there and stay with her till time to go home, and I would walk over to Woolworths. And I'd go down that counter, and there was a cap pistol about that long, silver and shiny. And I would pick that thing. It probably cost a dollar and a quarter. I don't know, but that was when a dollar and a quarter was a dollar and a quarter. And I'd look at that thing and feel it and know it. And I don't know what it is about little boys and guns. Don't report me to them people that's after gun owners. But I just like, oh, if I could have just owned that thing. Now, I didn't go beg, Mama, you got to get me. It never entered my mind. I figured if I was going to get that gun, somehow God's going to have to work a miracle and I was going to have to make some money. Because that's the way I was trained. I'm glad I was. I never had any concept that if I wanted something, I could just go ask and I'd get it. And so now it's not hard for me, having grown up like that, and I thank God I did. It's not hard for me when I ask God for something. And He don't come, He don't stop everything and run to the store right then. You know, you would be surprised. I grew up so tough. If we had butter beans for supper and I really would rather have a pizza, you know, didn't nobody go to Pizza Hut and get me a pizza? They didn't nobody go to McDonald's and get me a kid's meal because I didn't like turnip greens. But I was raised, I'm not trying to sell hard times to you, but what I'm talking about is God knows how to raise His kids. And parents don't. In fact, I told one of mine today that I tried to raise. And now they're trying to raise theirs. And I said, if I knew how to do it, I would tell you. But I never did learn myself, so. But thank God, I tell you, just like the pastor says, you can't do this all these years without learning a few things. And I have learned a few things. Some of them I learned by doing it wrong and found out I shouldn't have done it that way. But, you know, that's the advantage of history, of folks who study history. And the way you study history is ask somebody that was there. And a lot of times, you can get some wisdom, believe it or not, from older folks simply because they tried it and found out what worked and what didn't work. All right? Now, so what we're talking about, he is saying in this parable, you know, even a wicked judge, because this woman just kept on coming. She just kept on coming with this request. And he said, now God is going to answer your request, but it says he will, how is that worded? It says, though he bear long with them. So sometimes you have to learn to wait on God, and he has a good reason for doing that. He's not holding out on you. Sometimes God is holding back what you're asking for because you are not prepared for it yet. All right, now you understand that raising your children. If a 12-year-old kid tells you that they want a car or a motorcycle, you say you're not ready for that. Now, you might get one down the road, but you're not ready. There's a process that has to happen here before you're ready for that. And we go ask God for things sometimes, and you know that 12-year-old kid asked you for the car. They was convinced they was ready for it. And sometimes you go ask God for things, and you convinced you're ready for it. But God knows you're not ready for that. No, you're not ready for that. Lord's Prayer, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, right? On earth as in heaven. Now, I heard a great testimony yesterday that relates to push. It relates to pray until something happens. Up at the Kannapolis Church of God, Pastor Chris was sharing this with us yesterday morning. There's a fellow up there by the name of Jack. I don't know him. But Jack was born blind in one eye. And then sometime in years in the past, he became blind in the other eye. And so he's been totally blind, could not even see light. I mean, he was blind. All right? There's been some praying going on. And the other morning early, he called his pastor. Early. I don't know how early was, but it was early enough the pastor was still asleep. But the phone rang. Pastor answered it. He said, "Pastor, are you still asleep?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, good. It's time to get up. I got something I can't wait no longer to tell you." Said, "I've been waiting half the night to tell you this." He said, "I can see." He said, "Last night I was asleep," and said, "I was dreaming. And I was seeing all these things in my dream." And he said, "And the Lord came to me in my dream and said, I'm fixing to do something wonderful." And he said, "Then I woke up. And when I woke up, the lights were on all over the house and I could see everything." And he said, I never turned the lights on because I don't have any need for them. I don't know why the lights were on. But he said, "Then I thought, well, maybe I'm still dreaming." He said, "But I went out and turned the lights on out in the yard and went out and looked in the yard." And he said, "I was convinced." He said, "I can see." And amen, that's a praise God. He went to give God the praise. Pastor called him back in a couple hours and didn't get an answer, but then he found out later he had gone to, had somebody drive him down to Dr. Birchfield, who examined him and said, "You've got yourself a miracle." And amen. And incidentally, the eye that he's got the best vision is, and it's the one he was born blind with. Now the other one, he can see light, but he's not really making out too much. But he don't have 20/20 vision yet. He can see. He said he could see the clock on the wall, but he couldn't tell what time it was. Couldn't see the hands. But you know what? How does faith work? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You know what I'd do if I was him? What I'd advise that fellow to do, or anybody in that kind of situation? Keep praying. Keep praying. God said, "That work that I have begun in you, I will perfect it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." Right? So, you know, we can't get content. We get a little dose of something, we can't get content with it. It's the same thing with your spiritual vision. Some of you, the Lord opened your eyes spiritually just a little bit. Don't be content. You want to be going from glory to glory. You want to be, "Lord, I'm looking through a glass darkly now, but I believe not only am I going to see face to face when I get to heaven, I'm going to see clearer and clearer between here and there," right? Because I want to know more about you, that I might know you in the power of your resurrection. So, we need to pray till something happens, and if we're not satisfied with results, we just keep on praying. Push. We're not talking about pushing God around. What you doing when you're praying that kind of praying, you're pushing the devil around. All right? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil. The main way you resist the devil is in the prayer closet. Ephesians chapter 6 tells you about getting suited up to fight the devil. Put on all this stuff. Put on, you know, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and you got on your helmet of salvation, and then you get the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. Why do you get all that stuff on? To go pray. You know why? Prayer closet is a place of battle. Why would you need to get you a sword and a shield and a suit of armor to go pray? Go pray. Because you're doing battle when you're praying. You're pushing. All right? And you need to push till something happens. You need to swing that sword till something happens. Praying always. The sword, the Word of God, praying always. The situation with the guy with the eyes, of course, I immediately thought about when Jesus prayed for the man that was blind and his eyes were open. And what happened? Jesus said, what do you see? And the guy said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking around." In other words, he still had vision problems. But Jesus touched him a second time, and he was made whole. All right, that happened pretty quick in that case. But, you know, I believe in expecting a second touch. I think, yeah, when a baby's born, folks tell me that they don't have clear vision, you know, the minute their eyes open up. There's a process there. Some things have to happen. Things begin to come into focus for them. Somebody told me a little story yesterday about, I'll have to think about how I want to modify it. But anyway, this fellow, this kid had some new puppies. And he showed them to this particular pastor of a certain church. I won't name that church. It's just some anonymous church. And so, those are pretty little puppies. And the boy said, yeah, they were just born. And the pastor said, well, what kind of puppies are they? And he said, he named this fellow's particular church and said, they're this kind of puppies. All right. And so I'm modifying this story. Then a few days later,
Pastor Robbins came by and said to the little boy, "That's some nice looking puppies." And the boy said, "Yeah, I've had these a few days." And the pastor said, and the other pastor was there, and he said, "What kind of puppies are these?" He said, "These Faith Covenant Church puppies." And he said, and the other pastor said, "Wait a minute, a couple of days ago you said these are my kind of church puppies." He said, "Yeah, but they've had their eyes open." Now, we're not the only folks got our eyes open, you know that. But there's some that don't. That's why I didn't name any. All right? So, I want you to look in 1 Kings now in chapter 18. I got you just a couple more scriptures here. We're talking about pray until something happens. And this is one that's bound to come to your mind. I could just tell you about it, but I want you to see it a little bit. In 1 Kings in chapter 18. 1 Kings 18 and verse 41, starting there. 1 Kings 18, starting at verse 41. And if I still hear pages turning. If you're having trouble finding 1 Kings, it's right in front of 2 Kings. All right. "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Now, you know it hadn't rained in 3.5 years. And the reason it hadn't, because Elijah had gone into the court of King Ahab one day 3.5 years ago and said, basically, it said it like this: "It ain't going to rain no more till I say so." So here, 3.5 years later, he tells Ahab, he said, "You better get up and eat and drink, for," he said, "I hear the rain is coming." Now, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Hadn't rained in over 3 years. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. I tell you, Abraham had found out, when this boy says something, you better pay attention. Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, now this is described over in the New Testament too, and it says over there, gives this example of Elijah praying, and it says, "The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much." He put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And he said, "Go again 7 times. That I believe that he repeated this process 7 times. Here it just abbreviates it for us. But, "And it came to pass at the 7th time. And so, in other words, we had to do this 7 times. He prayed. And he told the servant, go look and see what you look toward the sea. And the servant came back and said, "I don't see nothing." Well, now, Elijah knew that you're supposed to push. You're supposed to pray until something happens. See, a lesser man would have said, "Well, it don't work. Must not be God's will." He said, "Let's pray again." Glory to God. He prayed again. He said, "Now go look and see what you see." Come back and said, "I don't see nothing. Ain't nothing happening." He said, "Go look." He prayed again. Said, "Go look again." He came back, said, "Nothing happening." He prayed. He said, "Let's pray again." He prayed again. Said, "Go look again." On the 7th time, servant comes back. You know what he said. He said, "I see a little old cloud coming up out of the sea, and it's about the size of a man's hand." That's not much of a cloud. And he said, "Go up and say it to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not." He said, "Go tell Ahab he better get out of town while it's getting good, because it's going to be raining so hard in a little bit, he's going to get stuck in the mud." This is a faith man. This is a man that knows how to push. He knows how to pray till something happens. He wasn't going to be satisfied till he got his answer. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He outran the chariot. Said the hand of the Lord was on him, I reckon so. All right, then I'll just remind you, you can be turning to James chapter 5, where we see about this, and I want you to see what it says about it. And while you're turning to James chapter 5, I'll just remind you of Acts 12, when Peter was in prison, and the Bible says, and it says that they were going to take Peter out and kill him in the morning. But it says, but prayer was made for him unto God by the church without ceasing. All right? And so what they did is, as you read that, you can look at it in Acts 12. I don't have time to do all these right now. But what they had had an all-day prayer meeting because Peter was in jail. And all going into the way into the night. And they were just praying about one issue. They was praying to get Peter out of jail. But you know what? They didn't quit praying until he showed up at the door. And in fact, they was having so much fun praying, they didn't want to quit then. They didn't really believe he was there yet. But they were going to pray till they saw results. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus said, "Tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Do you know them folks stayed up there and prayed for 10 days for one thing? For the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because it was 10 days from the time, from the resurrection, from his ascension, it was 10 days until the day of Pentecost. And them folks devoted themselves. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, "Stay there until you get endued with power." And they didn't pray one prayer and said, "Well, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it." Well, it must not be the Lord's will for everybody to speak in tongues. You know what they said? They said, "Joel said we can have it. Jesus said we can have it. And we're going to have it. We're going to stay here and pray until something happens." All right? And then I told you to be in James chapter 5 and verse 16. And it says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah, it says Elias in the New Testament, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gate gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So, we see here in these examples, but I want you to look at just one more before we leave, and that's the example of Jesus. I mentioned it a while ago in Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. We base our doctrine on what the Word of God says. That's why I like to point out things to you in the Word of God. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. I had a man tell a Bible study, it was meeting in my house one time, that God can't hear your prayers unless you pray out loud. I said, "Wait a minute, let's look over here at Hannah praying in the presence of Eli, and it says her mouth was moving, but she wasn't making any sound, and God answered the prayer." I said, "You're going to have to turn loose of your doctrine. You know, it don't agree with the Word of God." Now, I think there's a time we need to pray out loud. Sometimes I need to hear me pray. Sometimes the devil needs to hear me pray. Sometimes you need to hear me pray. When folks come down here for prayer, a lot of times I'm trying to pray some faith into you. I'm trying to get you to agree with me. I've had some folks are so quick to fall under the power that sometimes I catch a hold of them and hold them up because I'm not through praying yet and I want them to hear it. Wait a minute. Don't fall down on me yet. I want you to hear this prayer. Then you can fall down if you want to. All right? And I believe in falling under the power too. But I also believe that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And in Mark 14 and verse 32, it says, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground." This is Jesus, of course. He fell on the ground. I think about old Elijah up there putting his head down between his knees. I tell you, sometimes your posture will change when you've been doing some serious praying. "And he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father." He said, "Daddy God." He said, "All things are possible for you, for thee. Take away this cup from me." He said, "Lord, Father, you can do anything. You're God. Take this cup away from me." He said, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." What is he doing? He's submitting his prayer to the will of God. But he's making his request is, "I don't want to go through this, Father. And Father, you must, obviously you could work out something else because you are God. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Because not thou watch 1 hour, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit's truly ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. Verse 39. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. Why? He didn't get no answer the first time. He went back and prayed the same thing again. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. See, I've kind of heard folks say all the time that Jesus went and prayed, and then that last time he said, Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours. No, he said that the first time he prayed. But you know what? Just because you say something out of your mouth don't always mean you're convinced of it. He was still struggling with this thing. And so he went and prayed again. And prayed the same thing again. I know it's all right to pray the same prayer twice. Because Jesus did it. Jesus believed in praying until something happened. Well, you know what? Something happened. He didn't get out. The cup didn't take it away from him. But he got his heart prepared to accept it. Now, when I say got his heart prepared, there was nothing wrong with his heart. But sometimes we got to let the grace of God come to give us what we need to get through a situation. All right? And again, he went away, verse 39. And then verse 40 says, And when he returned, he found them asleep again. Their eyes were heavy, and neither wished they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It's enough. He said, I got it taken care of. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, and he that betrayeth me is at hand. You can just hear the peace in Jesus' voice then. See, he was in turmoil. He was sweating drops of blood when he started praying. And he prayed one time, and he still had that turmoil in him. And he went down and woke the boys up, said, I need some help here. Help me pray. And he goes back and prayed the same exact prayer again. But that time something must have happened to him, because when he come down, he said, That's enough. Let's go. Got it taken care of. The hour's at hand. The guy's going to betray me. He's here. He got it all settled. He prayed until something happened. In that case, something happened in him. All right? So don't pray these kind of prayers where you throw it out there against the wall one time to see if it'll stick or not. And if it falls off, say, well, it must not have been God's will. Well, you know, I know God don't want to do this for everybody. I like what some people I've said is, I made up my mind, if God's not going to heal but one person in this century, it's going to be me. Because the promise is in the book, right? You have to get to the point that you're not going to settle for what the devil's dealing out. And if you know there's something God says supposed to be yours, you're going to pray till something happens. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.